Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is soon to return. Our sermon texts for today are the words from our reading from Romans chapter 13, beginning at verse 11. Paul writes, "Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that by these words, you would send your Son into our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that he might work by his grace in us greater faith. Sanctify us by the truth, Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, I know I've told some of you this, but I used to live in far northern Wisconsin when I was a teenager. And I went to school, a school that was 2 hours away by bus. So I had to get up at 6 o'clock. Actually, I had to be out the door at 6. I had to get up at about 5:15. And if you know what that's like to be a teenager and to have to get up at 5:15 in the morning, it's really hard. So often I would roll over and I would smack that snooze button on my alarm clock and shut it off and pull the blanket back up over my head, especially when it was 20 below zero outside. Sooner or later, my mom would come into my room and gently shake me and say, "Time to get up." I hated hearing those words. And it didn't matter how gentle she tried to be. They always were jarring for me because I didn't want to get out of bed. But missing the bus was not an option when you live that far away from school. So I had to crawl out of that warm bed. Our lives as Christians are a lot like this, but the stakes are a lot higher than just missing the school bus. It would be easy for us to miss eternal life because of spiritual apathy and doubt and unbelief. These are a dangerous spiritual slumber. Spiritual apathy, doubt, and unbelief are dangerous to us for a couple of reasons. First of all, because we're living in a dangerous world, spiritually speaking. We await the return of our Savior amidst danger. And secondly, these things are dangerous, excuse me, because when he does return, we need to be prepared for his return. Paul wrote the words of our sermon text to the Roman Christians, and they lived in a culture, believe it or not, that was very similar to ours today. They lived at the heart of a great empire, a superpower, if you will. They enjoyed imported goods and ideas from all over the known world, very cosmopolitan. They hadn't yet endured the horrible persecutions that were soon to come, and so their lives were overall pretty decent. The warm blanket of comfortable living was upon them, and they were pretty content to keep things the way that they were. But they lived in the midst of great spiritual danger. The Roman congregation knew, like we do, that our enemy, the devil, prowls about like a lion, seeking someone to devour. They knew, like we do, that the world around us doesn't want to be told what's right and wrong. What to do, what not to do, what to believe, what not to believe. Even by those with authority given by God Himself. And they didn't even want to hear what the Lord Himself had to say during His earthly ministry. They knew that even their own sinful flesh made war upon that new creation of faith that was within them. And we know it too. We feel it, that struggle all the time as Christians. Blanket of comfortable living is warm and reality is so cold. Can't we just snooze a little while longer? That's the temptation. Paul warned the Romans, and he warns us, time to get up. It's time to wake up, because there is real danger here. Just look at what Paul says. Let us behave decently as in the daytime. Well, we hear this statement and we think, well, no problem, I'm a decent person. But what does Paul mean? He says that we should not be involved in sexual immorality and drunkenness. Now, I'm sure there are many people who avoid openly sinning in those particular ways. But then he continues by saying that decent people don't engage in dissension and jealousy. I don't know anyone who doesn't have a rub with somebody. Those words mean that we should never seek to cause evil tension and strife. There certainly are times when godly tension is called for, and we will have to endure conflict for the sake of the kingdom of God. But we shouldn't be grieving one another or hurting one another to get even. And such behavior is just all too common for us, isn't it? So easy to do. The enemies of God use such strife and tension and jealousy to try to divide God-fearing congregations and divide families. And they often use this time of the year for that purpose. When people are gathered for holidays, it's a dangerous time. It's a bad time to be enjoying that spiritual slumber of apathy, doubt, and unbelief. Because when we doze so comfortably, people get hurt. We hurt ourselves. We lack the strength and determination of faith to fight back the enemies of our faith, who surely want us dead or out of the way, assuming that we won't cooperate with them. We need to be awake, not just because of the present danger, but also because it will soon come to a screeching halt. Christ is coming. The Israelites, at the time of Christ's first coming, well, they were asleep beneath that blanket of apathy and doubt and unbelief. And as a result, nearly every man and woman and child was caught unprepared for the Lord's visitation. I often think of all those people in the inn, if they had only known who was stuck out there in the stable. How many of those people understood the prophecies? How many of them cared to listen to them even? At that time, how many doubted that God would ever save them? How many did not believe that they needed to be saved from their sins and from everlasting condemnation? There were only a few in Israel, we're told. People like Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth and Simeon and Anna, who clung to that promise of a Savior from sin. It's not many. When you consider all the thousands of years of prophecies that their people had before them in the Word of God. And we're not better. We're not better than they are. We're apt to slumber and miss the significance of Christmas. And consequently, we're apt to be living unprepared for what will surely happen soon when our Lord returns. We're apt to be caught up in frivolous, useless bickering over things that really have no eternal dimension to them whatsoever, thinking of how to gratify sinful desires. Christians, the Holy Spirit is gently calling to us to awake. When will we listen? Will he be compelled to shake us out of love? He calls, time to get up. And with that call today, God rouses us from our slumber with his word. He wants us to put aside apathy. What happens here, what we hear Sunday after Sunday, it really matters far more than the decorations and the feasts, more than the outward appearance, more than physical health and prosperity. It matters more than family, more than getting along with everyone, more than earthly life itself. There must eventually be no room in our hearts for apathy. How can there be when Christ himself wishes to occupy that manger of our hearts? How can we not care since he will return and everything must then change? How can we sit idly by in this world? We're no longer a part of it because we belong to Christ, our Savior. Did he not purchase us at the cost of his own lifeblood? Did he not win us back from our sins and from death and the power of the devil? And did he not rise on that third day to give us eternal life? How could any of us not care about him or the millions who are out in our world around us who don't know Jesus Christ personally? The hour has come to wake from our slumber because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. That's Paul writing to us and reminding us that he's coming soon, that it's time for us to awaken. If we walk out of here this morning without resolving firmly in our hearts to pay more attention to the Word of God and to the real significance of the coming holy days and to our perishing neighbors and relatives, then we will be missing the bus. What purpose do workers serve when they're asleep on the job? Thank God that he is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. That's the refrain of the whole Old Testament. He forgives us our past snoozing. He forgives us, but wake up. Wake up now. We must call that out and gently shake one another with God's word. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. This is how the Lord rouses us from our slumber. This is how he comes to us so gently and says, wake up. That didn't happen the first time Jesus came. The Son of God should not have been turned away from that warm bed at the inn. He shouldn't have had to have been poor. Mankind really accorded him none of the honor that was due him, by whom the heavens and the earth were created. Even worse, he was shown to the cross by sinners. The righteous one went there to die for the unrighteous, for us. By God's grace, his word has informed our hearts and our minds so that we want to greet him properly. We are so thankful to be clothed in his righteousness so that the Lord sees nothing at all whatsoever wrong with us, but instead invites us to come to be with him in heaven above. We are adorned with holy Christian love because he dwells among us and his word is dwelling richly in our hearts. We don't want to meet him dressed in the crimson of our sins. How insulting that would be to refuse to wear that righteousness that he won for us. If you've examined yourself today as you've heard these words that he has spoken to us, if you find yourself with the spots and blemishes of sin, repent. Trust his word. That though your sins were as scarlet, they are now white as snow. Turn from whatever would keep you down when he returns. Now's the time. It's time to get up. Time to repent and amend our lives. Will you now hit the snooze button? Well, don't do that. It's time to be ready. Not slumbering in apathy and doubt and unbelief. God has roused us from our slumber once again so that we are ready. Ready to properly greet our King, our life, our salvation. Ready to share this good news that Christ, our Savior, our King, came once to pay for our sins. That he loves us so much. That he comes again and again in his word and says, I forgive you all your sins. And that he's returning soon to put an end to this difficult and dangerous time. And so it is our prayer every Advent season. We pray, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Come quickly to save us. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.